Gratefully, the Christian faith is not an esoteric idea. It's not a philosophy. Our spiritual convictions are rooted in history, founded on truth, and documented in a book. In fact, we can point to a time and place where the Christian faith was born. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to follow along in the fourth chapter of Matthew, where we take a geographical journey into Israel. In this chapter, we discover the very first encounters between Jesus and those he met along his travels. Chuck titled today's message, Where and How It All Began.
It's helpful on occasion to think through life doctrinally. Allow me for a few moments to bring to your attention three great doctrines that relate to God's leading. The first is revelation. The doctrine of revelation is God supernaturally giving us his truth. He has done that, and it is contained for us in the scriptures, and we can rely on that because of the doctrine of inspiration, which has to do with individuals on this earth supernaturally receiving and recording the truth without error. Revelation is God's giving us truth. Inspiration is special individuals in the days when the scriptures were being written receiving the truth and writing it. And then there is illumination, where God guides us into an understanding of the truth that's been written. That's the work of the Spirit of God. He leads us all the way because he is at work in all our lives. You don't see him because he's invisible. You don't hear him because he does not speak in audible terms. But you experience the result of his presence. When you have peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, that's the work of the Spirit. When you would not otherwise know a direction and you're given direction, perhaps through some verses of scripture, or as a result of prayer. That's the Spirit leading you all the way in your life. The longer you live, the more sensitive you will become to these great truths. Revelation has ceased. Inspiration has ceased. But illumination goes on and on and on, and that's what draws us together. When you leave following a time of worship and you have learned something you didn't know before, it's called being illumined. That's the result of the Spirit of God at work, guiding you into an understanding of truth. Our hope is that that will happen today as we look into verses 12 through 25 of Matthew chapter 4. We're working our way through this book of Matthew, and we've come to the fourth chapter, right about the center of the chapter. I've given you an outline in your worship folder, which you can use as a guide, kind of help you stay on target as to the areas we're dealing with, which will involve the use of the maps that are in the back of our Bibles, as well as observation of what the text says and imagination as we put ourselves in the sandals of those who lived back in that day. Matthew 4, verse 12. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It may be a little different from the version you have, but it will guide us as we come to understand what this is saying. Verse 12 begins, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum. beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demonized or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. Have a bit of a travelogue today as we journey where Jesus went, and we'll have an understanding of that as we trace it with our finger on the maps a little later.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To study the book of Matthew with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now let's begin Chuck's message titled, Where and How It All Began.
There are many things about the first 30 years in the life of Jesus that we know nothing. We know nothing about those things. For example, we know nothing about the details of the home life there in Nazareth. We know nothing about his relationship with his siblings, his brothers and sisters. We really know nothing about the relationship he had with Joseph, with whom he worked in the carpenter shop. Nothing is ever revealed regarding that. I've often thought what it must have been like to raise a house full of children knowing that one of them is perfect, and to be one of the brothers or sisters having to live in the same home with a perfect brother. I've wondered if there was a girl in the neighborhood that ever got a crush on young Jesus when he delivered the cabinets there at the kitchen or the table that he had just built with Joseph. I wonder if she didn't look at him and maybe wink. I know, it's just a thought. I wonder if he had a favorite subject at the synagogue school, where he was better in this than that. I wonder if he played a certain position in one of the neighborhood teams as he played with those in the neighborhood while growing up. So many things we don't know. You wonder if he ever sat down with Mary and discussed his plans, when he would leave, what he would be doing, and how grateful he was for her training. Many things we don't know, but thanks to Matthew, we do know where he went when he began his ministry. And we do know what he did initially as he got started. Starting any ministry has its challenges. And thanks to Matthew, we're given geography as well as strategy. We're not left to wonder what that was all about. Now, with regard to geography, you know what I'm going to say. Turn to the back of your Bible and locate the maps. Three people are turning to the back of their Bibles to locate. Come on, go back there, blow the dust off. Find the one that says the ministry of Jesus. There's a double page map for that. And then when you locate that map, look a little bit earlier for the one that's marked the 12 tribes of Israel. This is one of the reasons you need a Bible with a set of maps. Otherwise, you will read of places like we're going to be reading today. And unless you've been there or are a real student of geography, you won't have a clue about distance or location or significance of the places. So let's inform ourselves as if we were doing this study on our own. Let's locate where he was as he began. Verse 12 tells us, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea. That's the first place we're going to note, and returned to Galilee. Go back to the map on the ministry of Jesus. Look toward the bottom of that map. You'll see a large body of water marked the Dead Sea. To the left of the Dead Sea, which is west, you will see the wilderness of Judea. That's where he was tempted by Satan, was our study last time in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Wilderness of Judea, that's right where it happened. And indeed, it is a wilderness. At the top of the Dead Sea, you will see where the Jordan River flows into it. See the river? See the sea. Somewhere north of the Dead Sea, John the Baptizer stationed himself, maybe more than one place, where he was engaged in baptizing those who repented. Now, you found Judea. See the large marking, the large print, the large font, Judea, right in the middle of that area. Look due north, you will go through Samaria, the Esdraelon Valley, and you will get to Lower Galilee. You see that? Look at lower and then up above, obviously, would be Upper Galilee. Stay in Lower Galilee. You know you're there because it is just west of the Sea of Galilee. See the small body of water? The Sea of Galilee flows through the Jordan River directly south into the Dead Sea, which flows nowhere beyond. Why it's called the Dead Sea. There's no flow of water through it. But with the Sea of Galilee from Hermon, which is the mountain area far to the north, Mount Hermon, snow-capped year-round, that snow melts and the water comes from a number of places up there into the Sea of Galilee. Look to the left of the Sea of Galilee, due west, and you will find Nazareth. It's toward the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, to the left. Find Nazareth? You've got your finger on it. That's where Jesus spent most of his childhood, all of his teenage years, all of his young adult years, until he was baptized at age 30. When he went to be baptized, he left Nazareth in Galilee. Now trace it. He came due south to wherever John was baptizing, and there in the Jordan River, somewhere along that region of the Jordan, he encountered John, who was baptizing, and there John baptized Jesus. So when it says he returned to Galilee. That's because he came from there to begin with after he left his original home. Now keep your hand on the maps and go back to the verse. He left Judea, returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth. We just located it. Then he left there and moved to Capernaum. Back to the map. Find the Sea of Galilee and look to the northern shore, and you will see Capernaum, the village of Nahum, called in our language Capernaum. That's where Peter lived. That's where Jesus settled. So he moved his home from living in Nazareth up northeast to the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, to the city, the village of Capernaum. By the way, when you travel to Israel, you will have a guide that will help you locate all these places. You will find the joy of literally walking in the very places that are named on the maps and in the scriptures that you've studied through your life. It's one of the thrills of being there. You see it on a map, but when you're there, it comes to life for you. Now, before we go further there, go back to the text. Keep your hand on the maps. He went to Capernaum. He moved there beside the Sea of Galilee. And then notice, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That means nothing to the reader of a Bible unless you have a map. Back in the days of Moses, he led the children of Israel to the land of Canaan. He died. Joshua led them into Canaan, where they conquered the land. And once they conquered Canaan, which is today the land of Israel, they parceled out the land among the tribes of Jacob. Among the tribes would be Asher, Naphtali, and Zebulun. Go back to the map on the tribes of Israel, and you will see the region of Galilee where those tribes once settled. You see it? The Sea of Galilee, look to the west, you will see Naphtali, Zebulun, Asher. That's named after sons of Jacob who led their people into that region where they settled after conquering Canaan. Let me tell you this as we go back now to the text. You will never become a serious student of the scriptures until you determine that you will also be a student of geography. Otherwise, you will be awash in ignorance. You won't have a clue where you are, how far some distance is from what, or why they may be there until you are a student of the very places you read about. So don't think that studying the Bible is simply studying words. It also has to do with locating places. Now, we're into Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. Matthew takes the time to tell us where he went. Please observe that he settled in Galilee, where he returned. Verse 15, in the land of Zebulun, as Matthew quotes from Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. The land of Zebulun, Naphtali, beside the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee where so many Gentiles live, and don't stop reading. Way back in the days of Isaiah, the prophecy is stated, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Who is the great light? Jesus. When he comes into that region, the Gentiles and Jews who live there are living in darkness, spiritual darkness. And with Christ coming, they see a great light. Look at the next phrase. And those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Again, a reference to Jesus. Galilee, fascinating. When you are traveling in Israel, you will certainly spend part of your time in Galilee. So I looked up one of my references and did a little study on the region of Galilee. so that I could be informed and I could therefore inform you. And I quote, Galilee was not large, only 50 miles from north to south and 25 miles east to west. But small as it was, Galilee was densely populated. Galilee, for its size, had an enormous population. The historian Josephus tells us that in it there were 204 villages. In the region of Galilee, 204 villages, some with a population of fewer than 15, none with a population fewer than 15,000 people. So then Jesus began his mission in that part of Israel where there were most people to hear him. He began his work in that area, teeming with men and women to whom the gospel proclamation might be made. Please observe, it is the land where Gentiles also lived, not simply Jews. They too would be in need of the gospel. My reference continues, the name Galilee comes from the Hebrew Galil, G-A-L-I-L, means a circle. The full name of the area was Galilee of the Gentiles. The phrase comes from the fact that Galilee was literally surrounded by Gentiles on the west, Phoenicians, on the north and east, the Syrians, and to the south, the territory of the Samaritans. I want to say a word about the darkness. Again, it mentions the death that cast its shadow and the people who sat in darkness. If you travel enough, you have been to areas that are dark. They may be densely populated, but you sense the darkness. If you flew there, you step off the plane and you find yourself enveloped in a thick darkness. You look around and you see signs of idolatry, witchcraft, demonism, the presence of demonic individuals. You can see this with your own eyes. Temples devoted to that. And all of this creates an atmosphere of darkness. It has an effect on you. Jesus knew that for his message to penetrate the maximum number of people, he needed to go where it was dark. Many people are called to serve in places of gross darkness. We should faithfully remember them in prayer. Doesn't mean they're not modern places. It doesn't mean there are not a lot of people. It means there is little spiritual truth. A gathering like the size of this church would be unheard of in those places of darkness. The truth would not be taught, would not be preached, would not be proclaimed. In some places, you would be killed for declaring a truth that would differ from those who are in the leadership of the darkness. He's led to those places because it was there would be the most response to his message. And you notice his message? Verse 17, change your mind regarding sin. The word repent, metanoeo, has to do with the change of the mind. Turn your thinking around. You've been moving in one direction. Turn around as you trust in me and go in the other direction. Change your mind. Change the direction of your life. Repent of your sins. Last time we were together, I gave you a three-part statement related to sin. I want to repeat it. I told you we'd come back to it. It's this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay.
That's good insight. It's fascinating to see Jesus emerging from obscurity and beginning his earthly ministry. Chuck Swindoll titled today's study in Matthew 4, Where and How It All Began. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck's verse-by-verse study in Matthew has never been shared on Insight for Living until now. Matthew's unique perspective provides a magnificent view of our Lord's life. And when we truly engage with King Jesus, our love and affection for Him grow immensely. And over the next few months, we're confident you'll gain a deeper love and respect for the King of Kings by joining us for this captivating series. Now, we know it's not always possible to catch the program every day, but when you secure a copy of Swindoll's Living Insights Commentary on Matthew, you'll have instant access to the key themes in this study and their practical applications. Plus, you'll be able to refer to these two hardbound volumes for many years to come. To purchase Swindoll's Living Insights Commentary on Matthew today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. And then as God leads you, please remember the influence of your donation to Insight for Living. Our website and our mailbox are filled with affirming notes. Each one tells the story of God's faithfulness as men and women learn to apply the truth to their lives. Recently, we heard from a listener who found Insight for Living in South Australia. Another who relied on Chuck's infectious laughter as he recovered from a tragedy. And another who found hope while suffering from a broken marriage. People from all walks of life are benefiting from your generosity. To give a donation right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or you can also give when you visit us online at insight.org. Join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new study in the book of Matthew, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Where and How It All Began, was copyrighted in 2015 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.